Adam Shirley on ABC Radio Canberra.
Do you have a skill that was every day or is every day? Maybe by the by as a house chore or an essential task. If you think of yesteryear, blacksmiths, typewriters, taking photos on physical film, these are important skills, but there's not as much relevance or need for them as there is in the present age. Maybe that skill is now a key hobby, one that you still follow with dedication, such as this. That electronic form of communication, Morse code, the dots and the dashed, once essential to everyday life and communication. You think of military settings and those sorts of films which might feature Morse code too. There are some operators in Australia tapping away to one another. Chris Chapman is one, president of FISTS, F-I-S-T-S Down Under. Chris Chapman, a pleasure to catch up and speak with someone who's in the know about Morse code.
Good morning, Adam. Thanks for the opportunity.
How did you pick up on using it in the first place?
Well, it goes back to 1984 in high school. My science teacher had me in front of the radio for a radio contest, and I really got hooked on Morse code and HF radio.
What hooked you about it? I mean, it seems simple in many ways, but also very difficult if you're going to do it skillfully. So what hooked you about it?
Oh, look, I think back then it was the magic of radio and talking to people all around the world and using a skill that was, well, it required a little bit of practice, it required some discipline, and, you know, as you mentioned earlier, it was a skill that was critical, certainly in the early to mid-20th century, up until probably the very late 1990s, when it stopped being used both commercially and for defence purposes.
So how did you develop your skills through the years, and were there enough people to maybe communicate with to make it beyond a novelty?
Yeah, for sure. Look, it's still very, very popular in the world of amateur radio enthusiasts all around the world. There's probably estimated around 3 million amateur radio operators around the world. We've got about 13,000 here in Australia. And there's probably somewhere around 400 to 500 Morse code operators here in Australia. And look, over the years, I'm regularly on air talking with people, and it's just a great way, I suppose, like a musical instrument, to continue to build your skills and your experience.
What do you talk about when you're communicating with someone else with Morse code?
Well, look, it can range from anything from a very, very simple exchange of call signs, name, location, maybe the radio equipment you're using and the type of antenna you're using, through to full conversations that can go for 20, 30 minutes talking about all manner of subjects just as you would in a normal conversation.
Is there basic or standardised equipment nowadays that one would use to send Morse code?
Look, probably these days most people use commercial equipment to transmit. There still is a lot of people who build their own equipment. But for the most part, I would say that the vast majority of radio amateurs are using commercial equipment.
And how common is it still in military disciplines or maybe training exercises in the real world?
Officially, the Defence Forces wound back their use of Morse code probably in the early to mid-1990s, and commercial operations ceased in 1999. So really, since around the year 2000, the hobby of amateur radio really is the last bastion of Morse code.
Is there still an essential or an emergency need for it in those sorts of defence settings as a last stop, and maybe when other forms of communication have failed?
Look, we're starting to hear some murmurs from some quarters that some military are bringing Morse code back in, but it's probably fair to say that for the most part, internet and satellite-based technology is the primary communication for military services.
Chris Chapman's our guest, president of FISTS Down Under, a Morse coder, if that's the right phrase for it. Adam Shirley with you as well at 11:15. Is that the right phrase? How do you describe yourself if you're a professional or a keen amateur at Morse code?
Well, look, as radio amateurs, we refer to ourselves as amateurs, or many people might know us as hams. That's the more common parlance in the 21st century.
Why hams?
Oh, I can't remember. I think it goes back to perhaps quite some years ago in America, where radio amateurs were referred to as hams. But off the top of my head, I can't recall.
Yeah, okay. Now, I know you've got your gear asides there. I don't know how this will work in a very brief way, but can you send us a brief message, say, that takes 10, 15 seconds to send?
I sure can. Here we go. End of message.
Which was?
This is your ABC.
Great way to sign off with. And it's nice of you to still bring this important communication tool of the previous generation into 2021. Is it the sort of thing where it will always be a hobby, a passion for those who are still doing it, do you think, Chris?
Oh, look, no doubt about it. I know there's a lot of people, as I mentioned, who still participate in the hobby of amateur radio. And I'd certainly encourage anyone that has an interest in communications or electronics or anything like that to at least have a look at the hobby and see if there's elements that might attract them.
Mm, and maybe something new to learn if you're not allowed to go far or do much in lockdown. Chris Chapman, thanks for sharing your passion with us today.